The fire may not open, but the devil will return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something when the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely man where to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. It's not the only will. Kill the inside and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return. And blindness and wonders if it's mine will ever learn. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go.
Welcome. Welcome to In Plain Sight on Thursday night. This is Jeremy from Kentucky's show. This is actually not Jeremy, but this is William Rapillum. Jeremy was unable to join us tonight. And so I improvised. And I've got my returning co-host with me, who I've done some shows with in the past, Paul from California. Paul, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the invitation and look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, me too, man. It's been a while, and it's long overdue. Don't let me forget to remind everybody to go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash that donate button. Donate much-needed fundage. Fundage, as Jeremy likes to say. I love that word, fundage. Donate whatever you can, folks. Free speech can only stay alive if we donate and keep the station going. We are 100% listener supported, and we have our sponsors as well, and they are putting it on the line, risking their business to help us get the truth out there. So please do help, folks. All right, so we got a packed show for you tonight. We have a convergence of information that I got a Brother Nathaniel video, and he rehashes the January 6th, and I think it's a really good video for us to go over. I want to go over that, and I want to talk about controlled opposition. I want to talk about the actors in the whole show, the play, Trump, Pence, you know, and just how obvious it is and how it ties into that, how they make movies. You know, I think they do the same exact thing. They make movies, and they've turned this whole situation that we're in into another movie. They just have actors that act out the roles. Let me kick it over to you, Paul, and you just talk about whatever you want to open up with here. If you want to mention that, go for it. And then we'll get into this video.
So before we get to the video, you want me to tell one of my stories?
Sure.
Well, you know, I'd like to tell you, and of course anybody else who might be interested, about one of the whitest things I've seen in a very long time was this morning. So I went up to Reno. So for all you people who don't know California, Reno, Tahoe, Virginia City, Bonanza, you know, dun 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 dun. Well, anyway, it's nice. Got a lot of snow up here. And, in fact, last night there was a nice little snowstorm. Came down kind of soft. And then the morning it was a little crunchy. Well, I'm coming out of the motel room. It's probably about 8:30 in the morning, and it's cold. I mean, it's probably, I don't know, high 20s or low 30s, and of course there's snow on the ground, and most of the people's cars that were parked outside have snow on the roof or the hood and so forth. So I see this guy coming down the street, driving nice and slow, you know, in the morning, being careful on the ice. And he's driving a convertible Corvette from the 70s. And he's got snow on the hood and snow on the back deck. And the thing's open. And he's got a big, like, stocking cap. You know, it's I think it's kind of a green. It sort of looked like a big Santa Claus-type stocking cap, but it wasn't red. And this guy was one of the most Nordic individuals I've ever seen. He had this kind of brownish blonde hair, long hair, and a big old burly beard. And he's just sitting there at the stoplight idling in freezing cold weather with an open top and a Corvette. And I walked up to him and I go, "I want to get your picture." And I'm walking it because I was close by and I was starting to walk out in the street to take his picture. And he goes, yeah, sure, go for it. And just as I'm about to, you know, get it all framed, the light turns green. He goes, "Oh, I got to go." And he starts to go, and the back wheels give out. He's losing traction, so he's spinning the back wheels, but he's gaining a little bit, and all of a sudden he starts to move forward, and he just kind of just lets out this, "Yoo-hoo!" Or like, "Yee-haw!" I just couldn't help but think, I was like, that's one of the whitest things I've seen in a long time.
Oh, man. So you didn't get a picture, or you did?
No, I didn't, because right as I'm about to do it, the light started to change. And I'm standing in the street because literally I walked out into the street, you know, to get a good close shot of him in this open Corvette with snow on the hood and snow on the back deck. And, you know, he just probably was, you know, just out having a good time in the morning. And I'm sure he, you know, was making a statement, you know. I mean, literally to see him and to see this car and to see the way, you know, he was dressed and the way he looked, he was just like making a statement. And I just thought, that's white people.
That's awesome. It's always good to see somebody who represents our culture and our different, you know, our diverse cultures. You know, it's everywhere. And, well, I mean, it's diminishing. But it's there if you look for it. And even, like, without saying it, we all celebrate it. You know, even, I got to say, like, even some... liberals, as long as you don't say, "Oh, it's a white thing" or whatever, they'll love it and everything like that intuitively. You know what I'm saying?
Because yeah, yeah.
European culture. This is white European culture. But deep down, they're relishing in it, I believe, you know?
Yeah, as far as
it's like when I went to... Well, real quick, it's like when I went to a Wardruna concert, and there were a lot of liberals at this Wardruna concert, but this was Wardruna is a Norwegian band that has, like, old, you know, pagan music that sort of celebrates, like, Vikings. So, I mean, there was just tons of white people at this concert. This was a few years back, and it was really great to see. I was really happy when even though a lot of these white people are kind of liberal or whatever, they're celebrating, you know, the ancient culture that belongs to us, you know.
Right. No, I was actually just about to say, as far as I know, later on, this guy was probably out chopping wood somewhere, you know, so, with an axe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's a cool story, bro. All right.
Sure.
I don't know. Let's jump into this Brother Nathaniel video, I guess. We're going to go over... I hate to jump off into the dismal stuff, but, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something. I forgot something here. I'm trying to jog my memory here while I drive around on a windy road right now, going downhill.
Oh, you're driving? Oh, okay.
Are you able to hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay. Sometimes there's a little bit of you know, difference in the volume and the clarity, but overall, you know, I can, I've heard everything so far.
Okay, I'm getting, I'm closer up to my phone now. Hopefully it's more consistent. And we'll go ahead and let that, let's go ahead and let that clip roll, the brother Nathaniel, and then we'll comment on it.
It's 11 in the morning, January 6, 2021. 300,000 Americans of every age rally at the White House lawn. Trump climbs the stage. He tells the crowd at large that a fraud could put an imposter in charge.
But this year, using the pretext of the China virus and the scam of mail-in ballots, Democrats attempted the most brazen and outrageous election theft. And there's never been anything like this. It's a pure theft in American history. Everybody knows it. That election, our election, was over at 10 o'clock in the evening. We're leading Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia by hundreds of thousands of votes. And then late in the evening or early in the morning, boom, these explosions of bullshit. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, it started to happen.
Pure bullshit. Dead people voting. Twice the ballots than registered voters. State legislatures ousted from sending election protocols. Dozens of anomalies across the nation. Much of it, even the mainstream Jew-owned media, did admit. Enter the stiff, Mike Pence.
And I hope Mike is going to do the right thing. I hope so. I hope so.
Hope springs eternal, but when relying on an unsmiling stiff, Mike Pence, a man who never goes off script, abandon all hope, all ye who lean on doctrinaire dopes.
Because if Mike Pence does the right thing, we win the election. All he has to do, all it, this is from the number one, or certainly one of the top constitutional lawyers in our country. He has the absolute right to do it. We're supposed to protect our country, support our country, support our Constitution, and protect our Constitution. States want to revote. The states got defrauded. They were given false information. They voted on it. Now they want to recertify. They want it back. All Vice President Pence has to do is send it back to the states to recertify.
He didn't. Why would anyone in their right mind expect a stiff Mike Pence to do otherwise? Three states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, simply and constitutionally legitimately asked Vice President Pence and Congress for an additional 10 days to investigate the legality of their statewide elections, and then a final congressional certification could proceed. All Pence had to do, but remember, he's a political stiff and a lunkhead chump, is honor the state's request, decline to certify, and send their election results back to the states for their investigations. Pence is then off the hook. States ask, Pence consents, cut and dry, but it's hard to swat a housefly. Pence keeps a stiff upper lip.
When's the last time you talked to former President Trump? You guys good?
You know, we talked last summer, and, you know, I've said many times, we, you know, that it was difficult. January 6th was difficult. It was a tragic day in the life of the nation. I know I did my duty under the Constitution of the United States.
He dirtied his duty.
The whole number of electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, a majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Joseph R. Biden, Jr. of the state of Delaware has received 306 votes. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 232 votes.
Pence rubber-stamped a senile old child sniffer into the White House. Elections will never be the same unless hangman's nooses are hung from the congressional rafters. The state simply asked for a 10-day stay, completely constitutional and reasonably legit. Nothing had to be resolved until January 20, giving the states time to do their review. Pence stiffed them. But many say, don't blame Pence. The fault lies with Trump. Trump should have enacted the Insurrection Act. Jefferson ratified the act to quash an insurgency led by Aaron Burr. Lincoln expanded the act to deploy troops into southern states to quash perceived sedition. With the 2020 election fraud involving obstruction, interference, and subversion, all easily proved and just as serious as in Jefferson's and Lincoln's days, Trump had all the grounds he needed to enact the Insurrection Act. Can Trump say he didn't see it coming?
Very simply, you will decide whether your children will grow up in a socialist country or whether they will grow up in a free country. And I will tell you this, socialist is just the beginning for these people. These people want to go further than socialism. They want to go into a communistic form of government, and I have no doubt about it.
Trump was the one to decide, not the people. He had the intel, legality, and the armed forces at his command. Into the six states where the fraud was rife, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, Trump should have sent special U.S. ops to seize the servers and supervise a revote with in-person voting only. The Insurrection Act, all should know, does not suspend civil law. The act is used to enforce civil law. Jefferson used it. Lincoln used it. Trump should have used it, too. Every man is given his moment of greater or lesser degree based on one's station in life. None is higher than the presidency. The moment arrived for Donald J. Trump, and he failed to seize it. That was the day America died.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I know this is kind of old news, and Brother Nathaniel is bringing it back up again. This is his latest video. But what's really relevant for me in talking about it is having done some research with Mike Gatti. I mean, I have just been doing passive research. I've been listening to Mike Gatti's, he has his show on Saturday from 4 to 5 Eastern. And then he's always, you know, we've got Stephen Douglas Whitener who has him on regularly as well, like a lot. And they have fantastic discussions about the Constitution and the problems in the Constitution. Everybody's always like, Paul, I love it when you say, my constitution. Everybody calls up and says, my constitution. The problem is, after doing some of this research, learning about this Constitutional Convention of 1787, learned how the original writers of the Constitution or underwriters voted against the Bill of Rights originally, and how the Federalists really were pushing for, you know, including Andrew Jackson, John Jay, and even George Washington, were pushing for, and I dubious about George Washington, he seemed to be sort of like a go-along guy in a way. But with the central bank, they were pushing the central bank. This has been a problem in the United States for entire existence, really. Anyway, but I wanted to get in a little bit to the double-mindedness of the Constitution because there was a call that came in Saturday on Stephen's show where Lauren called in, and Lauren was the host on Mike Gatti's show before it was Mike Gatti's show, right? I got that right, Paul? And you were on there with her.
Okay, go on, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, we're looks like we're up against the break. We'll pick it up when we come back, and I'll take some get your comments, Paul.
Join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719 extension 3 for details.
The fight for Speaker of the House seems to be the big news. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code Lighthouse at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system for flu season. For the first time in 100 years, the Speaker of the House vote has gone on for days. At the time of this recording, there have been 11 votes and still no Speaker elected. I think the fact that Kevin McCarthy has tried 11 times and has not even considered stepping aside, nothing but an indication of McCarthy's ego. It has been my experience that anyone who wants a job of power this badly is not the person we, the people, should want to have that job. I am glad this fight is happening. My opinion of several members of Congress has changed during this process, some for the better and some for the worse. Aside from politics, I would like to ask for your help again. My dear friend lost everything on December 30th when her apartment building was destroyed by fire. My friend Tashoy is starting the new year with absolutely nothing. If you are able, please help my friend through the GoFundMe link at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We're back. And I was just finishing up my point about the Constitution kind of being double-minded, I think. You guys hear me okay? Still heard the music there.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, good, okay.
You want my reaction to this comment, double-minded and so forth?
Yeah, there seems to be contradictions in the Constitution that allow the oligarchs to do what they want, but there's protections that... And so, yeah, let's hear your comments on there, Paul.
Okay, so as I've made clear many times in the past, going back a very long time on different shows, as far as I'm concerned, there is no Constitution. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is. I don't know how it figures into our lives at all. Okay, there's a version of reality that we're presented with. Pretty straightforward, okay? The version of reality that the media, the deep state, the ruling class, the Jews, however you want to phrase it, this reality is what is presented to us, okay? And it's got nothing to do with the Constitution. It's talking point distraction. It's something that, you know, could be discussed in a high school civics class if they even had them anymore. But as far as I am concerned, anybody, any grown adult who talks about, quote, the Constitution is clueless as to what's going on in the world. It's clear that it's all about power, who has it and who doesn't, and who's on the receiving end of the abuse of power, and that's us, okay? So the Constitution is, in my opinion, a meaningless exercise in futility. The average person doesn't know anything about it. They don't know what it says. One of the shortest things there is in the Bill of Rights is the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is one sentence with a comma and a period. And I don't think I've ever met an adult that could recite it. Right? I mean, think about that for a second. I've often asked the question, because remember, there's been multiple times in my life where gun control was up for discussion, generally throughout the media, through people, on the street, so-called. There's been multiple controversies about quote-unquote gun control and shootings and regulation as long as I've lived. And yet I've never heard an honest discussion about it on conventional radio, and I've heard many. And most of the time, the people are talking about it on conventional radio, they don't even draw the distinction between words such as militia, such as people, such as regulate, right? They don't really even discuss it on any meaningful intellectual level. Most people, as I mentioned, don't even know it. The average person can't tell you what Article 1, Section 8 is, right? Or the average person does not know what an Article 3 court is. And again, it wouldn't matter if they did, because none of it applies to us today. Okay, George Bush was right. It's nothing but a blankety-blank piece of paper, and the government, the deep state, the power structure pays no attention to the Constitution, and they don't pay any attention to law either. I've often said there is no law. Once we get it through our heads that this is a struggle, okay, it needs to be, sooner or later, a physical struggle. Right now, it's a mental and emotional struggle, and they are waging a physical war against us in many levels, and you know this well. And they're waging a financial war for a very long period of time. They're probably going to be waging a food shortage war. They've been waging a chemtrail weather warfare war. They're waging a racial war. That's what matters. And the Constitution, in my opinion, is just conceptual only. So thanks for letting me give my rant once again. Appreciate it. William?
Sorry, I had to pull myself off mute while I'm driving here. Yeah, oh, those are some great points, man. And you take me to task, but I got to look up, I know generally what the Second Amendment says, but let me read it out loud, and we can break it down a little bit even, for what it's worth. Okay, the Second Amendment, we'll start there. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people... Uh-huh, yeah, comma.
Go.
There's
go
two ahead. Commas in here, actually. There's three commas in here, actually. A well-regulated militia, comma. Hang on. Well, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma. Shall not be infringed.
Somebody went wild on the commas. It's ridiculous. Those commas do not belong there. A well-regulated militia being essential to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. So the talking point that's important to remember about that, and again, I've only heard it one time on an alternative, like an FM station or something years ago, back in the 90s, but conventional media will never say that the way that this works is that the people are going to regulate the militia, because that's what it says, regulate, which means to keep in check. So a well-regulated, they could have said a well-armed militia, and the people shall have the right to form militias and be armed. No, they didn't do that. What regulates the militia? Regulate means to govern or to keep in check. Okay, and it's the people, by having and keeping and bearing arms, they are regulating the militia. So essentially, the people have to, the necessity of the people to be armed for the security of a free state necessitates that, anyway, you got the point.
This is great. This is a great point that you're making. A well-regulated militia, yeah, exactly. It doesn't say anything about and the people. Yeah, let's pick it up when we come back after break. Be right back.
Alrighty.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Stop me now. Tonight I'm
loose again.
So
go ahead, Paul.
I was gonna say, if you don't mind, let's wrap up the Second Amendment real quick, and I want to talk about what Brother Nathaniel said. So, what was enlightening to me? I forget when I first heard it. I want to say probably back in the '90s, sometime, could have been the late '80s. Is the definition of a word, and also the distinction between a couple of different words in that brief one-sentence Second Amendment. So the word regulate, they could have said, but they didn't say, a well-provisioned militia, okay, or even a well-armed or supplied militia. If one thing that I've heard, which is probably true, is that the so-called founding fathers or the people that wrote the Bill of Rights or the Constitution were very good with words. They were economizers of words, and they understood exactly how to construct their thoughts. So, again, using the word regulate had a very particular meaning, and just substitute that for controlled, and you'll get the idea that, in other words, a well-controlled militia is necessary for a free state. And therefore, the people, okay, who are separate, not the same word, militia and people were different. And they could have easily, used them interchangeably, but they wanted to make the distinction, because what was a militia at that time? It's basically the army, the military, right? And there were private armies back then as well that were also regarded as militias. So they knew that, like, a private army, soldiers, the military, in general, armed men that are serving some sort of, power, for example, serving money or serving a king or a prince, they needed to be regulated or kept in check by the majority of people having arms, bearing arms. So it's quite straightforward when you think about it. And the talk about, all the Jew nonsense that you've heard over the years on television about, the people forming militias, or it was about hunting, or they could have never imagined the sort of weapons we had today. It's all nonsense and distraction. So anyway, just having said that real quick, all I'll say about what Brother Nathaniel said is, once again, he is correct. Almost everything that he said in that video, I agree with. And the fact of the matter is the problem with Trump for a very long time, as I've said, is this, is either he could do something or he couldn't, okay? And if he could do something, he didn't, so he was useless. And if he couldn't do anything, then he's also useless. So in my opinion, Trump was a double useless, okay? Because he either could or couldn't have done something. And if he could do something, he did nothing, useless. And if he can't do anything against this depower state, then he's useless. And everybody knows what Pence is by looking at him. All you got to do is look at Pence or listen to him talk. He's a yes man, a company man, an empty suit. He's disgusting. He would be one of the top people that I would have put in front of a firing squad were I to take over. So that's what I got to say about Brother Nathaniel's video.
Yeah, Brother Nathaniel used very, I liked the poetic justice in his language that he used. They would be swinging from a rope from the rafters of the congressional rafters. Something to that effect there. It's really interesting what you mentioned about the Constitution, because, it talks about the people. The people, well, when I watch the news, it talks about the American people. But if you interchange that, they're never talking about the American people. They're talking about the Jews, or they're talking about the oligarchs, whatever you want to say, whatever we want to call them. They're not talking about us, we, the people. They're talking about them, the people. So when we read these, when we read the Constitution, we have to keep that in mind. I was looking at the Second Amendment, and what you mentioned there, it's very enlightening, a well-regulated militia to serve the people. So really, that's just, to me, it's to serve the oligarchs. So when they act, when they say, oh, it's good, I did my constitutional duty, well, now I'm realizing that because of the loopholes in the Constitution and because of the problems in the Constitution that were inherently built into it, they're actually not lying, necessarily. Whereas before, I thought they were. I thought they were traitors to the Constitution. They're traitors to us, that's for sure. They're traitors to the people. I mean, it's very clear. But the people they serve are not us. So, you know, they're not traitors in their mind, and they're not traitors of the Constitution in their mind. So it's just real double-mindedness there.
Well, again, I'm not sure what you mean by double-minded, but I will agree with this, is that, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of what Mike Gatti, the content of a lot of his programs. I happen to agree or believe most or all of it. And in the end, it just serves to illustrate my point, okay, that the Constitution is completely meaningless. It does nothing for us. And I don't know even if you could argue it does something for them, because the parts that they want to ignore, they ignore. I mean, this is what you'll find out if you ever get involved in any kind of, you know, court cases involving, you know, your rights to freedom and liberty, the rights to your own body or rights to property or anything else, you know, due process of law, you will quickly find that the courts will ignore any law that doesn't suit them, and they will go ahead and apply the law if it does suit them. I've seen this myself in person, and of course, this has been communicated to me by other people, and many, Jim Fetzer, for example, has found this out the hard way, that the law and evidence doesn't mean anything when the court system is designed to maintain power and to maintain the illusion that the state tells us is the truth. You know, they basically lie and lie and lie and lie and lie, and they want us to believe it's the truth, just like they give us the article you sent me at the beginning of the show. They give us these false heroes. They give us scumbags to look up to, like Martin Luther King, right? They tell us, oh, yeah, Martin Luther King, champion of the black people, champion of the of human race, you know, civil rights and so on and so forth. Well, okay, he may have done and said a few things, but what was he like as an individual? What was his character, right, the content of his character? Well, there's a lot of information that they don't want out about that. You know.
Yep, he went to a communist training school. He was propped up by a lot of Jews. The NAACP was started by 12 Jews and one black front man, W.E. Dubois, from the Congo. It was a Jewish operation. The MLK was a Jewish front man doing the Zionist Jewish bidding. You know, it's tragic that that he is a national hero. You know, he had some real problems with, I think he either watched a rape or, you know, was a real womanizer. He trashed Christianity. And then he was propped up as like a Christian leader. You know, so these tragedies stem back, and then they have others that come out of them, like George Floyd now being propped up as some kind of hero. So, yeah. But, hey, Paul, so I don't know if you got any other comment on that, but I wanted to just completely switch gears, and I got you on the show. I want to jump back on, if you're interested in it, talk about the virus situation again. I know, you know, and the reason I want to bring that up,
sure,
is because it just boggles my mind. Like, I think about these conversations we've had on RBN with other hosts, and, you know, some people think, oh, it's not worth getting into that. It's just too far of the Overton window to talk about. But it isn't. It's not. It's a very easy thing to explain. I don't understand why people don't get it. It drives me nuts, because it's not hard to understand the fraud of virology.
I agree.
You.
I agree. And you still, again, you know, I don't claim to know everything, and, you know, I know that you don't make that claim either, but you have put time in. You have listened to quite a bit of, you know, Thomas Cowan, Andrew Kaufman, Stefan Lanka, these people, you know, and, you know, the logic and that they bring, and the evidence, too, as far as previous experiments that have been done, and also experiments that have not been done. I mean, to me, the lack of evidence is the most compelling thing. In other words, there's never really been any good controlled double-blind studies that prove infection or prove transmission. There's some anecdotal evidence that certain things can affect other people, you know, from, you know, being around, you know, certain individuals. But the idea that these agents, such as they're calling viruses, have been somehow isolated And then now that they've taken this isolated sample and given it to somebody else to cause the illness that they're attributing to this, quote, virus, never been done. Never. Never. And people still believe the lie. They listen to the talking points of the media, and they believe in infection and transmission. And I see people still every day when I go out and about, I still see people sanitizing surfaces and sanitizing their hands like there's something on there that they're going to get. And it just, you know, they have us trained. We're like trained seals. They got us wiping alcohol-based gels with fragrance and scent chemicals and all coloring agents and everything else in there. Who knows what else you're absorbing through your skin. They got people wearing masks. And they got people taking poisonous needles into their body because of this fear of a virus. And, yeah, it's infuriating and perplexing. I'm basically down with everything you have said about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take 2 minutes and explain why, what exactly the fraud of it is. Okay, so it's all based on this this cell culture, from John Enders of the 1950s that invented this cell culture way to find out, is there a virus in there. So what they do is they take the sputum from a supposedly sick person, okay? And instead of just taking that sputum, isolating and finding the virus there, spinning it out in a centrifuge or whatever they do, and then isolating and finding it, and then taking that virus, putting it into something else, some other biological material, or putting it into another person, and then in some kind of an isolation form, and then seeing it if it spreads. So that's never been done. And this is not what they claim happens, right? So, no, what they do is they take this sputum. They don't isolate anything. They simply mix it with a bunch of other biological material, like monkey kidney cells or fetal bovine serum. And they mix it. Then what they do is they give this mixture antibiotics. So what does that? What does that do? That kills it. So it kills the biological material in there. And what happens then? The cells break down, and next thing you know, you have what are called exosomes coming out of the breakdown of these cells. The exosomes are identical to viruses, and they say, "Oh, there, we have virus." So I don't get it, guys. I mean, you're like, well, we looked under an electron microscope, and we saw it there. What does that prove? Nothing. That's like saying the shoes at Auschwitz proves that there was a Holocaust. So I don't really understand why you guys can't get off of it and just go listen. Go to Tom Cowan's channel and just listen to some of these debates. Listen to them call and constantly try to get these so-called doctor virologists to come out and say and prove that they've showed that these viruses have been shown to be pathogenic. So don't call us up with this stupid explanation about I saw an electron microscope and there was a spike protein there. I saw it. Because that proves nothing. Because that proves nothing at all. Well, no, go ahead. If you want to call us up and debate us on that, I know. No. It's just a circular argument, though. I don't know. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
you feel better? Okay, yeah, nobody's calling us up. I'm not sure who are you referring to, you guys, but okay.
I don't know. I've just been thinking about this for a while. I'm so tired of hearing, it has COVID. I caught the flu. It's like, no, you didn't. You poisoned yourself, and you're detoxing. There is no such thing as the flu. There's no virus that you catch. You catch from somebody else. It's all a psyop. makes you sick. And the anecdotal thing that you mentioned, Paul, that's the thing. That's the thing right there. Everybody goes, oh, well, we all got together, we were in the same place, and everybody got sick. So that proves it was a virus. A virus. That's what it was. Even though there's absolutely no proof of that. So what I believe that is, actually, which you can explain that with why women sync up their periods. Same thing happens. You get around somebody who's detoxing, you're going to do it too. It's called bioresonance. All right, we're at the break. And I think I missed it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Okay, we're back, folks. The last segment. And I went on a rant. And I want to retract something a little bit here. I don't want to give the impression off that we don't want to debate this. Because I've gotten in trouble for that before. I think it was Bruce, who was called Mike Ribeiro's show and was complaining about me saying I don't debate us on this. That's absolutely not the case. I'm very passionate about what I believe with this, just because it's just common sense. I'm not stuck in the orthodoxy of it, and so I get frustrated because people, they just stay stuck in the orthodoxy of it. But by all means, call and debate us on it. This is absolutely, please do. Call us up and debate us on it. All right, we got a caller. We got Bob in Utah. Bob, welcome to the show.
I do claim to know everything. And I'll back you up all the way, William. Now, let me add a quick big picture to this. The idea of contagion has been around since the Greek virus is supposedly Greek for poison, and it has a religious connotation. Contagion was a way to punish people for sins. Okay, so moving forward into the next millennium, when they had the light microscope, they found bacteria and said, aha, we knew it. We're right. Here you go. This is what's causing these things. But a lot of people who were sick did not have any bacteria. So that was something they couldn't figure out. So then they invented the theory of viruses were too small to see. Okay, move forward again into the 30s. They invented the electron microscope. They couldn't find the virus. What are they going to do? They want to sell vaccines? This is when Enders came up with that magic trick of the culture. Take it away, guys.
Beautiful. Yeah. Let me kick it to Bob. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's mostly absolutely correct. I agree with just about everything there. And you just have to remember that the virus is a weapon. It's their weapon against us. You know, they want us to be afraid of something that they have the remedy for, and then also the fear that they can, you know, instill in us allows them, you know, to manipulate and control. So it's fairly straightforward. And, you know, once you understand that there really isn't anything to be afraid of, you know, then we can, you know, we can make progress. But unfortunately, they're never going to let this up. They're never going to give in. You know, that's why I've always said that, you know, there's no political solution outside of removing these people from power and removing them from our society, hopefully forever, so we don't have to continue to relive this every few hundred years.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
there's a new video out where Andrew Kaufman debates Judy Mikovits. It's hilarious. So check that out. Pardon me?
There's another one? There's a new one?
And so all I do is listen to this stuff. I'm not interested in the war. I'm just interested in this virus thing, okay? Yeah, it's like 2 weeks old. It's hilarious. You should get Slattery to listen to that.
Well, Bob, you might be interested in William, you too, but in the work of Sophia Smallstorm, and she has essentially said that, yes, the idea of this some kind of an organism that makes us sick, that's mythology, but there are real quote-unquote viruses. There are laboratories that are actually doing research, and they're basically rendering biological material to crystalline structures, and they're manipulating that. So that is an interesting topic on its own.
We're at the end here, guys. Thank you so much. Fantastic show. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Bob, for calling in. Have a great night, everybody. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Wally.
I'm out.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.